This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Another pass scores. Kaprizov gets the goal on a 4-on-1 counter by the Wild. It is 1-0.
That was the lone tally. Dan Dunleavy on the call. Kaprizov's 14th, 6:55 of the first. Who knew it at that time? That was going to be the only goal that this big crowd tonight saw. 1-0 Minnesota is your final, and, well, it's our obvious goal of the game. Brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. As we welcome you back here to the press box at KeyBank Center, I'm Brian Colley along with Pat Malacaro. We'll get down to the locker room and Paul Hamilton with player reaction coming up here in just one moment. 1-0, the final. Good pressure throughout most of the game for the Sabres. A lot of chances, but a outstanding performance in net for Minnesota's Filip Gustavsson. He makes 39 saves. Pat, the Sabres not only had 39 shots on goal, they had 87 shot attempts. 87. A lot of those blocked and missing the net, and we saw a lot of them in those final 2.5 minutes or so. The Sabres controlled the puck for almost the entire time. They were on the doorstep of trying to tie it.
Yeah, there were a lot of opportunities. Even what J.J. Paterka rang the post, looked like he had a little bit of daylight to tie the game with the empty net. All these opportunities tonight, and you're just not able to come away with the win after winning 3 in a row out west. You come home, there wasn't that lag of, you know, the teams that come home and have their first game after getting back to the time zone. Didn't have any of that with a couple of days off in practice in between, so this team was ready to play. They just ran into a team. Look, outside of being in the same division as Winnipeg, Minnesota's playing about as good as anybody in the Western Conference. So, and you look at the numbers coming into tonight, Gustafson's numbers are off the charts.
Yep.
So this shouldn't be a surprise. This
will add to his numbers.
Right. It stings if you're a Sabres fan, but this is one of the top teams. You went toe-to-toe with them. That's the thing. You weren't skated off the ice. You weren't raced off the ice. You were the better team in a lot of cases tonight, except the one goal, which was a 4-on-1 opportunity where they were able to create offense out of their own zone with your top line caught in the offensive zone. That's the difference in this game tonight.
Yeah, and we can sit here and go through all the chances and who had them, and Jack Quinn had a ton of them, and J.J. Paterka had a ton of them, and Tage Thompson had a ton of them, and the couple of power plays that the Sabres did have, they had good possession and good opportunities, but Gustavsson was good. The Wild do block a lot of shots and do cause you to try to have to maybe pick the corner, because when your goaltender is that good, you're saying, well, I got to try to just beat him in this teeny little spot in the corner of the net, and you might miss. J.J. Paterka had a great look with about a minute and a half to go that ended up, I don't know if it grazed the post, but it may have grazed the side of the net. All right, let's go down to the locker room interviews here with Paul Hamilton.
Right away there, and we had a lot of opportunities, especially in the third period, that we got to bury, but we're going to keep going. We're going to bury those moving forward.
Your first two power plays in the first period, you guys moved the puck very well. Both units did and had some great opportunities, didn't you?
Yeah, no, but we got to bury on those opportunities, that's for sure. Gustafsson played really well, and his decor in front of him blocked a lot of shots, like I said. But, sometimes you run into a hot goalie and you just got to find a way. And tonight we weren't able to, but we'll learn from that experience and move on and find a way next time.
What was the key for you guys really just limiting their looks, you know, throughout the night?
I thought we were really hard on their top guys. I thought we were really good in our breakout, honestly. I thought we were moving the puck up really quickly, supporting, stretching the zone out, making them kind of sit back on their heels and play a lot more defense. We got into some trouble. We just weren't holding on the pucks long enough, myself included, there in the O zone, and kind of turned into some opportunities the other way. But I thought we were good in the forecheck as well, and we just got to keep doing that. Honestly, we play that type of way, I think we're going to win 9 out of 10 games.
When you cut to the middle for that chance, looking at the replay, it looked like the puck sat up on you, right when you went to shoot it.
Yeah, right when I went to shoot it, it sat up. I got to have a little bit more poise, but I think just have a little bit more poise, maybe hold on to that, let it settle a little bit, but a little unlucky bounce.
Thanks, Alex. Alex Tuck on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Alex Tuck said they'll win 9 out of 10 times with what they did tonight. I might agree with that.
I agree. And, you know, this is a night where you just don't get the win.
Now back down to Jack Quinn, live with Paul.
Yeah, really similar. I think that game and the Anaheim game have been by far my best games, and a lot closer to what I expect every night of myself. So just keep chipping away to get that every night, and I think I'll be in a good spot once I do that.
How did you sense in the third period, you guys? It looked like for a little while you guys were having trouble getting the inside, and in the last 10 minutes the opportunity started opening up again for you.
I mean, yeah, it was a tough game. They didn't give up a ton, but I agree. I think the first 10 and the third, we were struggling a bit to create offense, but I think we did a good job of getting back to the inside and getting some looks from in there in the last 10. So it's too bad we couldn't get one.
You can look at it. You did get some really good looks and some really good shots, but how do you avoid being frustrated when you get those good looks and good shots, but they don't go in for you?
I don't know. I mean, I am frustrated. Obviously want to score some goals to help the team, but you know, there's been a stretch this year where I haven't got looks at all, so I think it's a step in the right direction, and I know how good I am that if I do get those looks, they'll go in eventually.
What was happening to get those looks, do you think, tonight?
I mean, I think I'm just playing my game more, confident, attacking more, getting more shots from myself, creating more shots, and our line's been real good. Our line's been good and creating a lot, I thought, tonight and in Anaheim as well, same line, so I thought we were pretty good.
Do you think you're more jumping into the spots, anticipating where you can find the creases and find the seams a little more than you were earlier in the year?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I also think just creating some looks for myself, too, which I wasn't able to do at the start of the year. So I feel like you create a couple for yourself, you get a couple from your line mates, all of a sudden you got four or five shots, you know, which is what I want to have every night. So a little bit of both.
What was it like?
Thanks, Jack. Jack Quinn on the post game. And I'm going to move over here to Tage Thompson.
Coming into tonight, they got a dangerous power play. We knew we gave them power play, that's going to give them life. And they did a great job, played physical, played hard, but nothing careless with the sticks. And I think minors are always an indication of, you know, moving your feet. I thought we were tracking well tonight, and usually when you're doing that, you're not taking stick penalties.
What's impressed you about Jurie since he's been playing center these last couple of games?
He looks very comfortable. He looks confident with the puck. You know, it's easy sometimes to get the puck on your stick, get a little nervous or jumpy, and just get rid of it. You don't see that with him. He's got poise with it. He's looking to make plays, and when he gets in open ice and he's got a shot, he lets it rip. He had a couple really good looks tonight. He could have easily scored a couple for us. You know, I thought Quinny played a great game too. Looked good. A lot of great looks in the slot. It's nice now having Jurie, you know, play like that, and just gives you a little more offensive upside, you know, when you have that down the lineup.
How do you keep
showing that you've grown up a bit by not getting frustrated in a game like that?
For sure. I think that's just maturity. And I've said this before, we've had to learn the hard way over the past few years. And I think for us, that's what you like to see, playing the game the right way, playing hard, not trying to change and cheat the game when you're down. I thought we stuck with the game plan the entire night. Didn't cheat for offense. Just kept making the game tough on them, and we got our fair share of looks. Can't say that we didn't. So we just got to put those in the back of the net.
What went well in the 6-on-5 to get the types of looks that you were getting?
Not looking for the cute play. Thought we just got guys at the net and trying to throw it in there, create chaos. Especially their goalie making the first save all night. You know, the way you're going to score on him is getting rebound chances and second, third opportunities. So just kind of off the bottom of the dot there, trying to throw stuff in with guys crashing the net, and had a couple really good looks. And I thought, you know, for us too, keeping that 6-on-5 alive was great with just the puck retrievals, the intensity, the urgency to get pucks back and win those battles. And obviously didn't get rewarded tonight, and that sucks. But that goes back to the maturity thing. We can't, just because we lost one tonight, can't change the way we play and get discouraged. We play like that, we're going to win a lot of hockey. So, you know, we play in a couple days here, so just move on.
For you to win those 6-on-5 faceoffs, is it just bearing down?
Yeah, I feel like I had a good night tonight in the dot. I was feeling good early on, and I know what it's like to be on the other side of that when you're struggling and getting your head. So I felt like kind of had him there, and just bearing down, just that desperation to win that draw to get our team the possession in 6-on-5, and a lot of help from my wingers jumping on the pucks I did lose. So it's not just you know, the centerman in the draws, it's just your wingers helping out and your D getting good gaps. So I think it was all five guys in the dot tonight helping me.
What do you say to a guy like Jack when he's kind of doing everything he can to kind of bust out of this slump, got a ton of shots tonight, and it's just not going in for him?
Yeah, me and him chat here in the locker room. We always say 5-8 before a game. That's our slogan. 5-8 shots, you're usually going to score. And I think tonight he
just lost the last answer there of Tage Thompson, who came back tonight from injury. And Pat, I thought for the most part, other than maybe looking fatigued at the end of long shifts, which you might anyway, looked the part like he always does.
Another player in that 5-8 shot category tonight, both he and Jack Quinn, 6 shots apiece. You're going to expect those guys are going to score one, maybe more. And how many times did Thompson load up from the dot and just blast the one-timer, just didn't go his way tonight? And I like what he said. Don't get frustrated. You've got Vancouver here Friday. That's the sign of a team. Look, there's some games you're going to sit there and say, we should have won this game.
Yeah.
There are going to be times you sit there and say, we stole this game tonight.
Yeah.
So it's going to even out, not letting the frustration set in, such a big part of it.
If you continue to play like Alex Tuck said, like this, you're going to win 9 out of 10. So this is going to happen. The NHL, you get, as you know, I think Paul says it, others say it, you get goalied once in a while. Mm-hmm. And Gustafson has been doing it to not only the Sabres, but to other teams this year. So that happens. It's too bad it happened a night like this. We always say, hey, on a night where the building's jamming and people are excited about the Sabres and people were buzzing because they come in winning 3 in a row, that it would be great to just blow the roof off the building here tonight and have the Sabres score 5. Well, they didn't score once. But I like what Thompson said about, he said, we didn't cheat for offense. I like that. Okay, they're frustrated, they're not getting goals. Hey, let's cheat the system to try to maybe create a better chance for them. No, they kept going at it, and I mean, even in the final 2.5 minutes there, they controlled that for almost the entire time and had a lot of looks and were doing the right things. Throwing at the crease, Tuck and McLeod and Paterka were all literally within, you know, reach of the goaltender. So they were right where they needed to be. They just needed a bounce to go their way.
They put the puck on the net. Gustafson makes a save, freezes the puck, and the Sabres will win a draw in the offensive zone. You able to possess the puck there and continue to create that offense. So it was not only sustaining that zone time, but the ability of someone like Tage Thompson to win the draw and keep the play in the offensive end was such an important part when you've got the goalie pulled there. There's very, very little from this game tonight you say, I don't like the Sabres game. Look, they didn't take a penalty tonight. And, you know, even Tage Thompson touched on that point as well. You know, if you're playing the other team's game, you're going to get a lot of those infraction, or at least you would think a lot of those clutching, grabbing, hooking type of penalties, interference. The Sabres didn't do that tonight. They were able to go up and down the ice for the most part with Minnesota, out shooting them by 10, out attempting them tonight as well. So, yeah, if you're a fan, this is the way you want the team to play. This is the way you're expecting the team to play. And, you know, it doesn't result in 2 points tonight. But the fans were engaged in this game.
Yeah.
You felt it in those final couple of minutes where the fans were on the edge of their seat hoping for something and just waiting to burst, and just didn't happen tonight.
Yeah, Thompson ends up at the end of this night playing just under 20 minutes, 19:42. You mentioned the six shots. He ends up with 11 shot attempts and had quite a few of them during that streak tonight. So good news, Thompson back and healthy, and we're expecting good news on Jordan Greenway very soon. Here's Lindy Ruff live.
Well, we did a lot of good stuff inside the game. Made one big mistake in the first period, but I thought the first period might have been one of the best first periods we played against a real tough team. A lot of real good looks on the power play to score. We bumped into goalie. That's, you know, really seeing it. You look at some of the point-blank opportunities, and he was just getting a piece of a few.
You didn't have much in the first 10 minutes of the third period, maybe, but, boy, what changed? Or you really started getting inside and getting a lot of opportunities in the second half?
Well, you know, they were playing deep through the neutral zone, so they were getting to the puck first a lot of times in the first 10 minutes. I thought we had to get more aggressive, get our third guy involved, and I think when you start to risk a little more against a team like that, you saw a couple chances going the other way. But when you're down 1-0, you have no choice but to just put more risk in your game.
No penalties today. I mean, that's obviously been a point of emphasis. How happy are you that they played the clean
good
game like that?
I thought, again, our discipline in the game was good. The stuff we talked about in the first period about getting more pucks in the net, getting people around the net, a lot better job. Even 6-on-5, you know, the Thompson look. You look at the Paterka that I think went off the arm of Spurgeon, who was on both knees. We had people around the paint. Didn't have a lot of puck luck. You look at the second period when Dahlin walked in a couple times, even walked in his backhand. Sometimes the goalie didn't see it, but it still hit him.
Jack Quinn in the situation that looked like the Anaheim game again, real active getting chances. How encouraged are you about what you're seeing from him?
Again, good. I thought, you know, you look at the one chance in the third period as curl and drag that, you know, basically just caught him, just caught a piece of him on top of the shoulder. Looked like it was going in. I think with the left-hander in between him, he's getting a few more pucks. I think that Kulik has done a good job. I think the one thing I'd like to see is, you know, we had a couple 3-on-2s we didn't really turn into anything. The one in the second where Cooley shot it, where I think you got to defer to a better play. You know, you had Zucker and Quinner with him. But I thought he made a lot of good plays, even on the wall. He made some good plays. He had a desperation block that... you know, that's the type of stuff that helps you win hockey games.
You looked at that first power play. Did you like how Quinn almost quarterbacked that? It was almost like he took it over and quarterbacked that power play.
Yeah, I think when you look at, you know, the start of that, when our first group didn't get much done, that second group out there, you know, came out and really established a momentum for us on that second half of the power play. And I thought you mentioned he was a big part of it, made the right plays. You got to believe it's going to start going in. I mean, I can mention the shot in the third. There was one other shot that I thought he had a real good look. So it'll go.
Guys mentioned in the room that the folk just don't change anything after a game like that. What's your message to them, just based on how well they played? And you mentioned puck luck and obviously the goal.
I think we're growing as a team. I think we understand that you really don't need to change the way you're playing. You just got to stay with it. We did it on the road trip. We talked about that after the second period. We're going to get our looks. We have to take advantage. It might be a screen goal, tip goal, ugly goal, kind of like the Anaheim goal that got us going where it slipped behind the goaltender. And I think that's the part I'm most impressed with. We've been able to play a, you know, pretty consistent style.
Looked like he picked up where he left off. Just where'd you think of him tonight?
Yeah, again, I thought a lot of good battle. I think probably just a little rusty with shooting, maybe. You know, I think you give him that shot in the slot next time. I think he buries it. But I thought energy-wise and skating-wise, he did a good job making sure he was ready to play.
What do you think of Cousins Lane today in a tough defensive matchup?
They did a good job. That is probably one of the best lines we faced that can generate. They're a good line. They're a hard line to play against. They got everything. They got speed. They got playmaking ability. They got shooters. So for those guys to be able to handle them for the most part, I like the job they did.
Thanks.
That is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff, his live press conference here on the postgame, brought to you by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. 1-0. Wild beat the Sabres on a night where Buffalo had 87 shot attempts, could not get anything by the first star, Filip Gustavsson. Buffalo will be next at it on Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock against Vancouver, and we'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame show starting at 2 right here from KeyBank Center. All right, at this time, we're going to say goodnight to all of our local affiliate stations. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com, or you can listen in on the Odyssey app. And for all of you on WGR, more postgame coming up. We'll talk to Paul Hamilton down in the media room when we return. We'll get a check of the NHL scores. We'll update you on the standings. Pretty much everybody in the East is playing tonight, so we'll see what this loss did to where the Sabres sit in the Eastern Conference. 1-0 Wild here on Thanksgiving Eve. Thanks for listening. More postgame coming up in a moment. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
He's bailed out by the rest of his teammates. Remains 1-0. Minnesota.
Well, the Sabres got an outstanding performance from their goaltender, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. 28 saves, one goal against. And Buffalo couldn't even get a point. That's the stinger of this game here.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You say your goaltender is going to let up one the entire game. You're not only thinking win, but you better take it to the bank that you're getting at least a point out of this game. And the Sabres fall well at 1-0 as we welcome you back here to the postgame along with Pat Malacaro. I'm Brian Colziel, Paul Hamilton in the media room in just one moment here. Our final stats brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. I mentioned Luukkonen, 28 saves. Filip Gustavsson, the first star for Minnesota, 39 shots, 39 saves. Impressive performance for him. We mentioned earlier Quinn and Thompson led the team with shots, six each for the Sabres. Jiří Kulik, who is becoming more and more noticeable by the game, he had 5 shots tonight in this one. Quinn, though, overall, 9 shot attempts among the 87 shot attempts for the Sabres in this game. Power plays were good for Buffalo, good possession, especially even the second unit. They went 0 for 2, although maybe most will remember the power play that wasn't called, the too many men on the ice in the second period that the officials did not call. And Minnesota didn't even go on the power play. That's your Dynabrade.com power play update, powered by Dynabrade Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. All right, Pat's scores are coming up. We'll update the standings on a busy night in the league, but let's go down to the media room and get Paul Hamilton in here. Paul, battle of the goalies here, and Gustafson ends up coming out on top here. 1-0, kind of a painful game for the Sabres, who, coming off that great trip, feeling good. They played good. The building really wanted to go nuts tonight, and unfortunately for them, they didn't get to see a goal.
Yeah, unfortunately, they wasted a great goaltending effort by Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. And then, really, Brian, we can boil this down to really one thing. The Minnesota Wild got a 4-on-1, and the Buffalo Sabres didn't. That right there was the difference in the game. Both teams got lights-out goaltending. Buffalo created, you know, did what they needed to do to create chances. They had guys at the net. They ran into a goaltender who's played well for most of this season, had a great save percentage coming in and continued it. And, you know, they just couldn't beat him. You know, Lindy talked about, you know, all the chances Tage Thompson had, and maybe, you know, from he might have been a little rusty shooting, but still, you know, he was getting those opportunities. That one power play, he got the two clean one-timers that you want him to get, but big saves came up. There were just big saves at both ends of the rink. I mean, in the second period, that one Dahlin came down the slot twice on the same shift with great opportunities. You know, and he got foiled by the goaltender. In the first period, I asked Alex Tuck about it. When he came down the slot, great move. The puck stood up on him. You could see it on the replay. Just as he went to shoot, the puck stood up. Over the net it went. You know, right at the end on the 6-on-5, Peterka, you know, on the rebound, he had half the net that to shoot at, hit the side of the net, might have hit a Wild defenseman on the way there.
That's what I was going to ask you about that, Paul, because I know your angle in the press box is even a little better than mine. Did that Peterka shot at all graze any of the posts, or did you think it was a Wild player?
I think it was a Wild arm or shoulder.
Okay.
Maybe. But still, you know, there was a golden opportunity there where you just couldn't. The puck was bouncing around. You know, Lindy Ruff talks about when you have a 6-on-5, just get the puck around the crease and let bodies and pucks bounce around. That was happening. But the bounce didn't go their way. You know, very often the bounce will go your way to an open guy or in the net. And it just didn't go their way. There was one screen, I think, in the third period that hit one of the Sabres in the seat of the pants. You know, who was doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was at the net, you know, screening the goaltender. But instead of hitting him and going towards a corner of the net or creating some type of rebound, it hit him in the seat of the pants. You know, just those types of things so that they controlled the 6-on-5, I thought, very well to create many scoring opportunities. Tage Thompson was winning 6-on-5 draws, something that we're not used to seeing, you know, in past years. And getting things set up for them. They worked hard. Both teams worked hard. That was a hockey game where both teams worked hard. Both teams, the Sabres produced more chances than Minnesota did. But, you know, at the end of the day, Minnesota got a 4-on-1 break and Buffalo didn't. And that was that's how they scored the only goal of the game.
Paul, for, you know, many years you hear players talk about, you know, don't get frustrated, whatever, keep playing your game, you'll win this type of game 9 out of 10 times, things like that. We've heard that before, but maybe I'm just naive. I do see a difference in this team. I do believe that they can take what they had tonight and bottle it into Friday against Vancouver, where maybe other teams, it was a lot more talk than action on the ice. I don't know, your confidence in them to be able to take this and not necessarily learn from it, but continue the progress that they've had, even though you lose tonight, you had the 3 wins before this, and you still played toe-to-toe against arguably one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah, and a team that played 9-1-3 hockey, now 10-1-3 hockey on the road. And I think Thompson touched on this, and I agree with him, just the fact that they didn't get frustrated with what was happening in this game. They were getting turned away and turned away and turned away, but they just kept coming. And, you know, the 6-on-5, they were all over them. But, you know, they just couldn't get one by the goaltender, whether the shot was blocked or the shot hit something or the goaltender made a great save or they missed the net, you know, whatever it may have been, but they kept coming. You know, they didn't give up. Minnesota really didn't have too many chances at the empty net. They did from distance a couple of times, but really, you know, it wasn't one of those, well, you pull the goaltender and it's in your net before you know it. It was really Buffalo dominating that situation and continued to dominate it. And even though they were getting, quote, goalied, they didn't back down from it. Even in the third period, I don't think started great for them, but they came on as the third period kept going. But they never got frustrated to a point where, you know, it's like, oh, geez, this is happening again type of thing, where I've seen that in past years. I saw it last year at times, many times. But I would agree 100%. If you play the game like that most nights, you are probably going to win most of your hockey games.
Paul Hamilton down in the media room. Sabres fall 1-0. Kiprusoff's 14th on a 4-on-1 situation at 6:55 is the lone tally in this one. The Sabres will be back at it Friday afternoon here against Vancouver. Paul, I think one statement that Tage Thompson made, I just wanted to ask you a thought on too. It kind of follows up with what Pat was saying, is he said, I want to make sure I get the quote here right. He said about cheating to play offense. I want to get it exact here. Hold on one second. But I think you know where I'm going with this. Here we go. Tage says they, even though they were down, they didn't cheat for offense. They just kept playing the game that they were supposed to, making it tough for them. It's like, obviously, we just didn't get the puck in the net. But I like that phrase, not cheating for offense, because they have gotten frustrated and then they get out of maybe what the game plan is to try to overcome it, and it ultimately backfires normally. So I like that statement that he made. I know maybe it's fans are sitting here saying, well, they scored zero, so I don't know why you think that's a good thing. But I kind of like that mentality of how Tage brought that up.
Yeah, and what he's talking about is cheating, you know, getting out of the zone and taking off before you know you have possession of the puck, and now you're caught up ice. And the other team gets the puck, and now they have it outnumbered on you. So that's what he means by they're not cheating. They're making sure they have the puck. They get out and transition quickly and come up as a team. You know, come up as a five-man unit, not have a guy or two trying to blast out of the zone, and then you're trying for some Hail Mary pass. It gets picked off, and next thing you know, they're back the other way on you on an outnumbered. So it's, and I think they're so much better playing the system Lindy Ruff has, where they do come out as a team and they come out quick and they come out fast. And I think the fact that the defensemen have been more involved in the scoring this year shows that's happening, that you know, they're getting more chances because of, you know, getting out of the zone as a group and getting up ice quickly into the zone and maybe scoring some goals off transition at times too.
All right, Paul, so Vancouver is next, and they played in Pittsburgh tonight, lost 5-4, and they'll obviously be here for the afternoon tilt. Kind of a interesting 3 o'clock start on Friday, but it makes the weekend upcoming a little bit more manageable for Buffalo, because they'll play a Saturday night game on Long Island. So what are you just looking forward to here as we look ahead to the two games on the weekend?
Well, another team that's, even though they lost in Pittsburgh tonight, are very good on the road. They're 7-2 on the road. So you're facing two of the better teams on the road right now in the Vancouver Canucks. But now it's Buffalo's turn to do it again, what Lindy Ruff has asked them to do. And since he mentioned it to them, they've lost two games, and both times they won the next one. One game didn't turn into two games, didn't turn into three games. They lost a game, they won the next one. They've done it twice now. So now they're going to be, you know, tasked with that again. They've lost a game to the Minnesota Wild. Good teams don't let losses pile up. All right, every team's going to lose some games along the way. It's how you handle it. What do you do in the next game after that one? And you just can't let losses pile up on you. So it's going to be important for them to come out and still play well on Friday and be able to make sure it ends at one loss. That's how you stay in the playoff race.
Yep. Paul, before we go, just in case people didn't hear it during the intermission, we have an injury update on Jordan Greenway. It's brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at Catholic Health St. Joseph Campus. Go with Joe's. Paul, what's the latest with Jordan Greenway and what we kind of learned from the team?
Well, he had a minor procedure, and Lindy Ruff said they're hoping that it's going to, you know, kind of get him maybe back faster. They said they have to wait a couple of days to see how the procedure worked, and if it worked, maybe he'll get back sooner than they thought. So that they're hoping for some good news from that one, that it's something that worked and, you know, something that was week to week. Maybe it still is week to week, becomes day to day, and maybe he can get back a little sooner than they thought.
All right. Good update there. Paul, I wish you a happy Thanksgiving, and we will see you here Friday afternoon for a pregame at 2:00.
You too. And thanks to all the listeners. And we hope they have a great holiday tomorrow, too.
That's right. Thanks, Paul. Good job tonight.
All right. Take care.
All right, Paul Hamilton down in the media room. You're on a post-game 1-0 Minnesota, the score, as the Sabres, again, will be back at it on Friday at 3. We'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame at 2:00 right here on WGR, and then, of course, the entire network at 3. Hey, if you're on your drive home in your car right now, coming back from KeyBank Center listening, we appreciate you listening. Your drive home from the game is brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile. And I'll go ahead and be dad right now and just say tonight we know is a fun night, but if you are driving, be safe, be patient, and get home safely. I'll just leave it at that. I think
rideshare is a great thing.
That's right. Use it. It's a lot better than some of the alternatives, obviously. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go over to Pat here as we get our final check of the scores, and then we'll update you on the standings with the Sabre loss tonight. Where do they sit around the league? Here's Pat.
Thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. We'll start in Detroit, where Connor Zary scores in the third period for the Flames. Calgary and Detroit tied at 1-1, under 2 minutes to go in overtime there. They're going to the end of the game. Actually, the Capitals scoring late as they'll defeat Tampa Bay 5-4. Five different goal scorers for the Capitals in that contest, including John Carlson's third of the season, and also Dylan Strome's seventh of the year in the victory. In overtime in Columbus, the Blue Jackets and Canadiens tied at 3-3, while the Predators have a 2-1 advantage over the Flyers, 5:07 to go in the third period there. Former Sabre Ryan O'Reilly with his fourth of the year for Nashville. Taylor Hall has his fifth career hat trick, 3 goals for the Blackhawks. Chicago leads Dallas 6-1. They played 40 minutes in Chicago, while the Kings, on Anze Kopitar's seventh of the season, have opened up a 1-0 lead over Winnipeg. The Jets will be here at KeyBank Center in just about a week's time. 16:46 to go in the opening period. Early stages of the first in Seattle. Kraken and Ducks are scoreless, while coming up in moments, it'll be the Avalanche hosting Jack Eichel and the Golden Knights. That face-off about to take place in Denver. And at 10:30 tonight, the Sharks will host the Senators. Earlier tonight, the Blues shutting out the Devils 3-0. Jordan Binnington with his 152nd career win for the Blues, now with the franchise record victories and a 31-save shutout. The Rangers' free fall continues. They've lost 4 straight. Hurricanes 4-3 winners over New York in that contest. Also, the Panthers 5-1 winners over Toronto. The Bruins doubling up the Islanders 6-3. So Boston, 2 points better than the Sabres in the wild card standings at the moment. As you mentioned, the Canucks with a loss tonight. 2 third-period goals, not enough. 5-4 Pittsburgh wins there. And also, having just gone final now, Montreal with a 4-3 win over Columbus in overtime. Also look in the American Hockey League. Cleveland with a pair of goals in the third period. The Monsters defeat Rochester 5-4. And also, Brian, one note from local college basketball is Robert Morris defeats Canisius 72-64.
Thank you, Pat. All right, so what did the loss mean to the Sabres in the standings? Well, Pat, they came into tonight in wild card spot number 2, and at this moment they are a point back. Tampa has 24. They are wild card 2 because the Bruins have vaulted into the third spot in the Atlantic with 25, as are the Florida Panthers. They both have had 25 each, but it looks like Florida, as you mentioned, is just one. So they are going to go to 27 points there. They've broken their they've snapped their 4-game lose streak. Okay, so now the Leafs have 28, Florida 27, Boston 25. That's the top three in the Atlantic. The wild cards are Rangers with 25, the Lightning with 24, and the Sabres are the first team out right now at 23.
A lot of games to be played. Another tough team coming up here on Friday. We know Vancouver, they've been out without their top goaltender in Thatcher Demko all season long, but this is a team, 50 wins last season, top team in the Pacific, five more points than the Oilers, had big expectations, lost Demko right at the end there and have been without him for this year so far. They've done well to keep themselves in the top three on that Pacific division and with some issues in terms of chemistry from the offense as well a little bit this year. So they've done a lot to just stay right there in striking distance early on in the season.
Canucks, like tonight's opponent, the Wild, very good on the road. Minnesota, by the way, is 10-1-3 on the road. That's incredible. Only one regulation loss away from their home building. Vancouver is 8-2 away from home. So that's another good team. And as we mentioned, Vancouver played tonight in Pittsburgh and lost by a score of 5-4 in that game. The Penguins were actually up 5-2 heading to the third. Canucks made it close late. They got one goal from Hughes in the opening minute and then one goal from Pettersson with about a minute 146 to go. So Vancouver made it tight.
Yeah, they're without JT Miller right now. He's away from the team. But I mentioned Thatcher Demko not being in goal yet this year. Kevin Lankinen has assumed the starting goaltending duties in that one. He had the night off tonight, so you'd expect him to play here on Friday, where Shivas, who was so good from the playoffs last year, is pressed into starting goalie duties when they were down to the third goaltender. He was up to the task last year, but we'll see on Friday what the Canucks look like.
And you would expect Lukanen here Friday, right?
I would.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would too.
The start, 28 saves and 29 shots, a lot, high degree of difficulty. That's one thing didn't get a chance to touch on. Let's not forget, Minnesota had 14 shots in the third period. It's not as if they packed it in either.
No.
It was up and down, and there were chances at both ends, and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen had to make some big saves to keep the team in this game. And again, repetition, continuing to play, and really solidifying that he is the number one goaltender on this team. And really, one of the reasons if the Sabres will be successful, it's going to be on the backs of a lot of the saves that he makes for this team.
I wonder, we'll be able to answer this question better on Friday on the post game, if they're, because of the fact that it's afternoon followed by night and a short flight, would there be the consideration to play Luukkonen two in a row Friday and Saturday? But maybe Reimer playing so well gives Lindy more confidence to push Reimer in the nets for the second game.
And I'm going to say I wouldn't do it because you look at the way the schedule shakes out for the next 2 weeks. The Sabres have a big pocket of games coming up. They're all here at KeyBank Center.
So you can play Luukkonen in that whole ride if you want.
Right. Maybe you give him the spell on Saturday against Utah, but you're talking about Colorado coming to town, Winnipeg, who points-wise is better than Minnesota. I mean, the best start to a season virtually ever. Then you've got Utah Saturday, the following week, Monday, Wednesday. So you've got five games in a nine-day window. I wouldn't come back with Luukkonen on Saturday just because I want him in four of those five on that next homestand.
Yeah, no, that makes a good point because you've got them with just one day in between each one of those games, right? You got Colorado, day off, Winnipeg, day off, Utah, day off, Detroit, day off, Rangers, day off, but five in a row at home. So that opportunity to push Luukkonen there is probably, you're right, the right spot to do it. So, yeah, I think that makes sense. Probably you'll see Luukkonen Friday, Reimer Saturday, and then you push Luukkonen to four of five or who knows, maybe five of five, depending upon how that stretch goes there with the days in between. Thank you, Pat.
Thanks, Brian.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
To you, too, and to the listeners out there.
That's right. Hey, before we leave you here from KeyBank Center, we, again, want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. And TJ Luckman, our producer back in our studios, you as well. And also, of course, to Pat here, Jonathan Colziel. I'll be seeing you tomorrow for Thanksgiving meal. Paul Hamilton as well. Chopin Bulldog, Zach Jones, our producer during pregame. And, of course, Dan and Rob here. Tom Maddy, our engineer. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, and all the listeners. But before we leave you, Chopin the Bulldog spoke with Sabres GM Kevin Adams during our 5 o'clock hour today. So if you miss that, it's kind of our monthly check-in with the GM, with the state of the Sabres. So we'll finish with that here tonight as Minnesota wins it 1-0 over Buffalo. But we finish with the Sabres general manager and his conversation with Chopin the Bulldog from earlier today.